Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to have our Advent lighting here. Eric and his family are going to come and lead us.
Our hearts are filled with joy as we celebrate the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem's manger on this evening over 2,000 years ago. We sing praises to God and glorify his name as the angels did the night of his birth. We rejoice in the fact that the promise of long ago has now been fulfilled.
Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah, who gave us this prophecy over 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus about the birth of the Messiah. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Isaiah 7:14 and 9:6-7.
We have the candle of hope lighted to recall the hope of God's people that God would keep his promise to send a Savior to his people. We have the candle of peace lighted to remind us that Jesus is not only the Prince of Peace, but without a personal relationship to him, we can never be at peace with God. We have the candle of joy lighted as a visible sign of an inward joy that fills our hearts. We also have the candle of love lighted to recall God's love. Recall God loved this world so much that he sent his son to it.
Tonight we light the Christ candle as a visible reminder for the reason of our celebration. God's prophecy has been fulfilled in the coming of the baby in Bethlehem's manger, Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. O God, we celebrate your goodness to us as we join in the triumph and joy of Christmas. You offer us the gifts of hope, love, joy, peace, and most importantly, yourself. Without you, there is no hope, there is no love, there is no joy, and there is no peace. Without you, we have no celebration. O Lord, may all who have come here tonight and in churches all around the world see the gift of Christ in us as we shine his light in the dark and lost world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. No. One person says no. It is surprising. I'm glad you're here tonight on this winter night. It does kind of feel like Christmas now, doesn't it? Does it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure you're still with me tonight, all right? I'm so glad you're here, and Merry Christmas. This is a season that it is to be joyful. And in the video you just saw, the children's video, it highlighted Luke 2, 1 through 7, about Mary and Joseph and the journey they would take together to bring forth God's Son into this world. I find it interesting that Christmas, the Christmas story, is associated with taxation. I would imagine after all the things you have spent and all the things you have wrapped, you have given our government a lot of taxes. And in this story, Mary and Joseph make the journey back to their hometown of Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus, who was Roman, the Roman Caesar at the time, decided to tax people. He wanted more money for his profit. So they had to, with Mary being 9 months pregnant, make the 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And as I thought about that, I don't know too many women who would love to ride a donkey for 90 miles over 4 days, 9 months pregnant. It must have been taxing for her to do that. But I'd just like to see for a poll tonight, how many of you women who've had children or would like to have children would raise your hand and say, I would love to ride a donkey 90 miles for 4 days, 9 months pregnant. One man, okay. I'm so glad you're here tonight because it was a taxing thing for them to endure. Right now, everything is closed in this city and most cities across America except for a few 24-hour pharmacies. I think the 24-hour Waffle House is still open after this if you want to go get a waffle after this tonight. But the interesting thing about Christmas and Christmas Eve is this. Christmas Eve is about a baby that came gift-wrapped for us. Gift-wrapped in what is called swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know the story. Mary and Joseph make their journey there. And because so many pilgrims are coming into the city, there is no hotel room for them to stay. All of the inns are full. And to each inn, Joseph goes and knocks. He hears the same two words, no room. So they had to take a risk. They found a stable. Most scholars tell us it was probably a cave. In those days in Bethlehem, the land is made of very soft limestone. And shepherds, when it would get frigid or get cold, they had these caves they had carved out, and they would take their sheep into them at night for them to have a little warmth and protection from the weather. I find it interesting that Mary's baby is born in such a situation. You know the story. She places Jesus in a manger. Now, you may not know this. A manger is not a nice, sanitized bed in a hospital. It's a feeding trough for animals. Hay, fodder, still left in it. So she wraps her baby carefully in it and lays Jesus into this unsanitized, putrid place called a feeding trough for cattle and sheep. It's not the ideal situation, but it's all she had. And yet, to me, that's the message of Christmas. God came to us as a baby. He had no reason to do so other than he loved us. To show that he loved us, he chose to be born like us. He wasn't born in Jerusalem where there was a palace of a king. He was born in a lowly stable. Born among common people, of lowly people like you and me. And tonight, we're here to celebrate that with the hope that one day, we too will come to him. See, that's the story of Christmas. It's not that just God came to us. He came to us so that we might come to him. And 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus was born. And when he was born, an emperor named Augustus Caesar, who was ruler over the world, who called himself King of kings and Lord of lords, had no idea that on that very night, another king would be born. And this king would be the real King of kings and the Lord of lords. In the Christmas story, there's no room. No room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. And so the real question for us about Christmas is this. Do you and I have room for Jesus in our heart and in our lives? I don't mean intellectually. A lot of people will intellectually recognize that Jesus is an historical figure who was born. I don't mean just emotionally. I don't mean just politically, but I mean relationally. On this Christmas 2022, will you allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come into your life, to be part of your heart? Or will you say to him this Christmas, as was said to him 2,000 years ago, there's no room? If you have never given your life to Christ, or this Christmas you'd like to recommit your life to Christ, I would love to see you afterwards, give you my number. You can call me later this week, and I'd love to talk to you about that. This Christmas, let's don't say to him, no room. Our next song is an awesome song. It's called Noel. Noel literally means good news, which you shout with joyful hearts at the top of your voices. Will you receive that good news tonight? For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Right.
the shepherds that night from watching their sheep.
1965, the creator of Peanuts battled with the CBS executives because they wanted to remove that section of the Charlie Brown Christmas special. He won the battle, and for 50-plus years, millions upon millions of people have heard the good news of the reason for Christmas. And so for this part, we want to talk about the shepherd's encounter with the angels. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it says this: "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And as Linus said, the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Specifically with this story, I want to talk to you today about verses 10 and 11. I'll read them again. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" The Christmas story is good news that brings great joy. Why is it good news? Why is the Christmas story good news? Well, one reason: God fulfills his word. If you've read the Bible, you know that all the way from creation to this point in history, it has been talked about, prayed about, prophesied that a Messiah would come to save God's people. And that moment is here. So we rejoice in good news that God is faithful to his word, that God has redeemed his people, and it began here. But that good news also brings great joy. And why would that bring great joy? Well, at this moment in history, the salvation for the world, your salvation, began at this moment. I wonder how many of us in here have heard this story hundreds of times and have lost the joy that comes with the Christmas story. We come to the Christmas Eve service, we check off the box, and we go home. We hear the Christmas story, and it's just another story. If that is you in here, I plead with you, please remind yourself of the significance of this moment, that God himself, as Kelly said, came down to this earth for you and for me and for the world. He was born. He lived a perfect life. He died a gruesome death and bore the wrath of God and rose again so that you may be saved. What greater joy is there? Remind yourself of that this Christmas season. Press into Christ and what he has done, and the joy that comes, the gratitude that comes, the love that comes from that will overflow. And if you don't know Christ, if your life doesn't have joy, doesn't have hope, peace, meaning, love, I encourage you to press in to the salvation that is through Jesus Christ. He has died for you. He has defeated sin. He has defeated death. And he has rose again so that you may have eternal life with God and be reconciled back to God. There is no greater joy. There is no greater hope and love that is found in Jesus. And this is what the Christmas story reminds us about. It is good news of great joy. So rejoice today. Sing praise. Worship today as the shepherds did. They saw Jesus and they left praising and worshiping, for what they had heard was what they had seen. What they heard from the angels, they saw in Jesus. So I encourage you today, we encourage you today, rejoice. Praise God. Remember what he has done for you. May that well up in you gratitude and love and happiness because God has saved you. And if he hasn't saved you, God can save you and will save you. And all he asks is for you to believe in his son, Jesus, the light of the world and the joy to the world.
Let it men were filled with wisdom and understanding, and they were respected by kings and other important people. As three of these wise men were gazing up into the sky one starry night, an unusually bright light shone, brighter than any star they had ever seen. They were amazed at what they saw and were convinced it was a sign that a great king had been born. Quickly, they set out on a journey to find him. The same light that had caught the attention of the wise men also drew several shepherds out from the fields and into the quiet and lonely town of Bethlehem. The glory of God shone so brightly that they shook with fear. But an angel comforted them. "Don't be afraid. I bring good news for you and all people. The Messiah, your Savior, is born this very day." After a long journey, the wise men arrived in Jerusalem. As they rode through the city, they excitedly called out, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" They knew this king would be different than any other king before. This king was promised to bring peace and joy to all the nations of the world. Surely someone would know of his coming. "We have seen his star," the wise men declared, "and we are here to worship him." But no one knew where this child could be found. Herod, who called himself King of the Jews, was greatly troubled by the announcement of a new king, a king who might take his place. He met with the Jewish leaders and asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Then he arranged a secret meeting with the wise men and said to them, "Go and look for the Messiah in the town of Bethlehem. And when you find him, let me know so that I can also worship him." But secretly, Herod did not want to worship the new king. He only wanted the wise men to discover where Jesus was so he could have him killed. As the wise men left Jerusalem and headed toward Bethlehem, they once again saw the glorious light in the night sky. This light had led them many long miles from home. And now it would lead them right to the place where Jesus was. As the wise men grew closer, they were filled with excitement and wonder. When they stepped into the house, the wise men saw a young child with his mother Mary, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. They gave Jesus gifts fit for a king, including costly treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The scene was incredible. The greatest of kings, born in the most unlikely of places. Mary took in every detail and tucked them away in her heart. She wanted to remember these precious moments for the rest of her life. Later, the wise men and Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, were warned by God in a dream that Herod intended to kill the young Messiah. God led the wise men and the new family safely out of the city of Bethlehem and far away from the evil King Herod. Eventually, Jesus and his family returned to Nazareth. As Jesus grew, he revealed more and more about who he was. He healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind, and most amazing of all, he gave his life on the cross to rescue the world from the curse of sin. The wise men's journey had led them to Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords.
Magi. They're part of the Christmas story. They've been there for centuries. And yet, our view of them has been distorted by legend, by tradition, by Christmas cards, by Christmas pageants, Christmas plays, Christmas parades, even Christmas carols. We love the story of the Magi. And if you travel around this town, you'll see people with nativity sets outside in their front yards. And in it, you will see Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus lying in the manger. You'll see the shepherds leaning on their shepherd's staffs. And you'll see three magi, kneeling, offering gifts to the Christ child, who was laying in a manger, according to all the stories, with a halo over his head. None of this is actually historically correct. It makes for great nativity sets. It makes for great Christmas cards that we give out each year. And yet, through history, this story has evolved and taken on a life to itself. In fact, they are given names. The Magi are. One is called Balthazar. I believe that one's right because I saw Nicolas Cage play him in The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Another is called Melchior, and the other is called Caspar. They traveled from India, according to myth, according to legend. They traveled over 1,500 miles to get to where this baby was. In fact, legend says these three magi are buried in the largest cathedral in Cologne, Germany. Whether they are, no one knows for sure, but there's a monument that says that they are. But that's the fiction of the story. Let me tell you the truth of the story. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, where we have the story, none of these things are mentioned at all. In fact, the biblical story is more accurate. And you'll see there on the screen, it says here that now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men or magi from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we've seen a star when it rose and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" It's a wonderful story. And in the rest of the chapter you'll see there on the screen, it tells us that Herod summoned all of the chief priests, all of the wise people who knew Old Testament scriptures, even met with the Magi inquiring at the time of when they saw this star appear. And in essence, convinced all of them that he wanted to come and worship this new king of the Jews, this new Messiah, when all along he had other plans, as the video said. He only wanted to know where the child was so that he could kill him. There's a lot of legend to the story, but there is some truth. One of the truths is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's true. Jesus, another truth, was born around 6 BC. That is true. Now, whether there are 3, 5, or 10 magi, we do not know. Magi is plural. All you need is 2. In fact, there could have been 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or even more magi. Well, you go, well, then why do we have 3? Because he is presented with 3 gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's where the legend takes a life to itself, that there were only 3. So there probably were more. So tomorrow or later this week, if you're taking down your nativity set with your beautiful magi and you happen to drop one and break one, don't sweat it. You can get another one later, because there were probably more than just 3 that were there that night. The magi, here's what we do know about them. They were historians. They were astrologers. They loved looking up into the stars and into the heavens to look for signs of coming events, future world events, even future kings that might be born. They dabbled in the occult. They were philosophers and sages. To be a magi, you had to be from a very wealthy family, and you served in the court of a king, offering advice to that king. The Bible tells us in Matthew 2, "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests," that means all the people who knew all the Old Testament, "and all the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea.'" You see, here's what we know about King Herod. He was paranoid. He did not like to feel threatened. He did not like to be less popular than anyone else. He treasured his position so favorably, so much, and being popular more than anyone else, he would put to death anyone he considered more popular than him. In his day, there was a Jewish high priest who became more popular with the people. He had him put to death. When his wife and mother-in-law became more popular than him, he had them put to death. When two of his oldest sons reached adulthood and became so popular with the people, he had them put to death. When his youngest son finally became an adult, and 2 weeks before Herod's birth, Herod learned that this son was now popular among the people, he had his third and final son put to death. He would have no one replace him as king of the Jews. You see, years earlier, Caesar had granted Herod this title, King of the Jews. So anyone else that has been born King of the Jews would face the same fate as his mother-in-law, his wife, and his three sons. They would die. These magi come, and they show up. They come to where Jesus is, in this lowly stable, laying in a feeding trough, maybe. But if you read the story correctly, the Greek word that's translated as child is toddler. He's not in the manger. He's a two-year-old running around the house. Now, I know this. Have you ever had someone show up your house unannounced? You didn't know they were coming. And I would imagine that Mary and Joseph, they've got this two-year-old running around the house, and all of a sudden, there in Bethlehem, there's a knock on the door. Mary and Joseph are startled. Mary goes, "Joseph, who is it?" So he pulls out his iPhone, and he looks at his Ring doorbell, and he goes, "I don't know. It's a bunch of dudes out there with big hats, dressed in wealthy clothes, holding some gifts." And Mary goes, "Oh my gosh, my hair isn't done. I'm not dressed. The house is a mess. Hide everything." Isn't that what we do? When someone comes to our house unannounced, I'm going to tell you, in the Stanley house, if you come to our house unannounced, we have hidden things we still can't find. They show up unannounced. And they walk in to this two-year-old in Bethlehem and discover the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, these magi, in the very gifts they give him, foretold who he would be. Gold in that day was given only to a king. So they recognize Jesus as the King of Kings. Frankincense is this beautiful aroma that is burned in the temple. The Bible says that God's people are to be this pleasant aroma rising up to him. And so they give this to him, to saying that one day Jesus would be the ultimate high priest for all people. And they gave another gift, the gift of myrrh. Myrrh was used in those days. It was very aromatic, very strong, because you used it to wrap a dead body in, to cover the scent of death. So they prophesied, in essence, he's the King of Kings, he's the high priest of all, and he will one day die as our Savior. Herod is so jealous. He wants to know where this new King of the Jews is. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically how the Magi found Mary and Joseph, other than they followed a star. And after they had given their gifts to him, the Bible says that God spoke to them in a dream, warning them not to return to Herod, but to go a different way, because God ultimately knew Herod's plans. And as I thought about this for tonight, for the Magi, it was a star that got their attention. They traveled for years to get there till finally they found him. So God used a star to get their attention. Christmas is also about God getting your attention and my attention. How does God do that? Sometimes it's good news. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's that bad medical report that comes back. Sometimes it's the notice you're being laid off. Sometimes it's other kinds of news that we get that rock us to our core. You see, from the Christmas story, when I read it, I basically see there's three reactions that people have to Jesus at this season. In the beginning of the story, There's King Herod. There's chief priests. There's scribes. Herod summons the best experts of his day. What does the star mean? And what does the scripture say of where this Messiah would be born? And they say, in Bethlehem. You see, the first reaction I see here is indifference. Nowhere in the scriptures does it tell us that these chief priests, these scribes, these people who were what we would call today Bible scholars, did anything else than just tell Herod what the scripture said. They didn't go investigate it. They didn't go find out for themselves. They just said Bethlehem, and they left it at that. For some people, when it comes to Christmas, their reaction to Jesus is indifference. It's just another holiday that we have in America. There's King Herod. His reaction, he hides initially, is hostility. He wants no one to take his place, to be a threat to him. He will not accept anyone with the title King of the Jews. And when I look at this story, there are a lot of people today who look at Jesus with the same hostility. They don't like it that Jesus says that the only way to God is through him. They don't like it. They're hostile to Jesus' words, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. They get hostile when they hear, you can't be good enough to get into heaven. What you need is the grace of God. Knowledge won't save you. Actions won't save you. But faith in Jesus will. And so for some people, they're hostile towards that. Because they think they're good enough, or they're smart enough, or they resent everything about such exclusiveness of being only one way to God and to heaven in eternity. So they spew like a cobra the venom and vehemence against him. But there's a third reaction in this story. It's from the Magi. The Bible says they came and knelt before him and worshiped. It is my prayer that this Christmas season, you will make a choice, not one of indifference, not one of hostility, but one of worship. You see, the Bible says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a beautiful Hebrew word. It's actually the combination of two Hebrew words. Beith, house of, lechem, bread. You see, the bread of life was born in the house of bread. And it is my prayer this Christmas season that you will choose a reaction like the Magi. One of worship, not one of indifference or hostility. In a moment, we're going to take communion. And before we do, our team is going to lead us in a wonderful song called Adore. And it is my prayer that this Christmas season, like the Magi, you will come and adore the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Bread of Life. I hope every one of you received one of these. You were to be given one when you walked in the door. At the top of it, you'll see a little wafer. You'll peel this back and take out your wafer. If you didn't get one, there's some sitting around, or we can have an usher bring one to you. Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread, and remember, it's my body broken for you as the bread of life. So take ye and eat of it. If you'll flip over this, in it is a little grape juice. Jesus said, this is my blood which is shed for you. As often as you drink this cup, remember the blood that was shed for you. So therefore, worship me as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Take ye and drink. One of the ways we love to wrap up our service is a lighting of candles. Our team is going to be singing this wonderful song called Adore. And while they're doing that, we encourage you to come either to the front or to the back where candles are lit and light your candle, and we're going to line around this entire sanctuary. And once we're all done, then our team will lead us in the final song. Let's come and adore him.
Used step down from heaven. Humbly you came, God of all creation, here with us in a silent manger.
Adore. Each of these lights represent the light of Christ. And on that night, a star reminded everyone that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has been born. It was a silent night, a very quiet night. So our team's going to lead us in that famous, popular Christmas hymn we all know, Silent Night, Holy Night. was a silent night. And just like tonight, you're going to go home. And it is our prayer that you will have a good night's sleep, a good time with family and friends you might be here visiting with you. For those of you that chose to weather this winter blast, thank you for coming. A lot of folks are afraid to get out, but we're glad you came tonight. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. It is also Sunday. We will have church at 10 o'clock. And if you have nothing else to do, please come and let us adore him and worship him and praise him together. We tell our own families, bring your children in their pajamas, bring some toys that they got, and together as a family, we will worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can either have indifference to him, or you can have hostility towards him. It is my prayer and Hunter's prayer and our church's prayer that this Christmas you will adore him by worshiping him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this Christmas. Elves without power. We pray, God, that those with those electrical companies will get power restored. For those who are still trying to get to their destinations, we pray that they will get there safely. And Lord, tonight as we travel home, keep us safe. Help us to wake up tomorrow as we look at the tree with the gifts and the toys and so many things. Let us truly remember the real reason for this season. It is about Jesus Christ, that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So God, we leave here today with the attitude of worship. We adore you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Just a reminder for all the children, there's bags of the deacons and all that put together, and you're welcome to those, not candy and fruit.
Guys, awesome job. I want to